It's day 21 of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and Bridget Leslie in Sydney continues to stay in communication with Ukrainian journalist Maria Pesarenko, who's in central Kyiv. And in an interesting twist, Maria tells Bridget that while the Russian troops are stalled 20 kilometres from the city centre, some Ukrainian police cars and ambulances have been stolen by some Russians to infiltrate the city. In response, legitimate emergency responders are wearing a special coloured scotch tape, as she described it, around the right hand to identify the real police and paramedics from the Russian imposters.
Day 21 of the war. You're standing in your backyard, Maria. You can't leave your apartment building. What's happening today?
So today is the 1.5 day curfew, which was announced yesterday in the evening and will continue till tomorrow's morning. So it's the 21st day of war already, and such long curfew is happening the second time during these 21 days, because we are told that when this long curfew is announced, it is done in order to clear the city off of the sabotage groups which are coming here, sabotage groups of Russians, because they are really close to Kyiv. They are already in the suburban area. They have been keeping the positions there for already over a week. We are talking about Irpin, Vorzel, Bucha. These are small satellite cities in the suburban area of Kyiv. And so the Russians could have already infiltrated into the city. So they do this in police cars, which they have stolen from Ukrainians, in the ambulance cars even. So we are told that we have to stay all the day inside the houses, because everybody walking in the streets without permission or without special document will be considered a sabotage group member. So this is how kind of we live today. And we have to obey these rules. We know that it is only for our good, honestly.
So how will they know the difference between a Ukrainian and a Russian if they come in your police cars and your ambulance vehicles into central Kyiv?
So we have some special types of insignia, so the signs which show which car is kind of Ukrainian and which is not. Of course, these are the ribbons colored with the Ukrainian colors of the flag, so white, yellow and blue. And also we have this other type of signs, which is for the military mostly, the tape scotch, which is put around their right hand. So right here, a lot of people are working with the scotch of this special color, and these colors of the scotch are changing from time to time. And this is how kind of visually the people on the blog post can tell if it's Ukrainian or if it's not. And also, so the intelligence is working pretty successfully, and they know even the numbers, the plate numbers of the cars which have been stolen, so they can figure it out, like with street cameras, and find these cars, destroy them. So intelligence is really strong right now and important. And also they check the documents, the IDs at every blog post. We have even kind of the info that there are some numbers of these ID blanks, which have been stolen from Simferopol, Donetsk and Luhansk in 2014. And if these numbers are seen in hands of people, this person is more likely to be a member of sabotage group, a Russian, the wrong person here. So these are the things we know, but clearly a lot is not like in public.
How far are the Russian troops from central Kyiv? So you're living pretty close to where President Zelensky's buildings are. How far do you think they are from the central city? From what I understand, they're actually struggling, the Russians, to get into the city center area, but you're on the ground, you're making an assessment day by day on how close the Russians are coming towards the city center. What's your estimation?
Yeah, and luckily, thanks God and thanks to the armed forces, they haven't succeeded in coming closer to city center. So the closest positions are actually the suburban area of Kyiv, which is less than 20 kilometers from city center. This is Irpin, Bucha, and Vorozel. It is kind of the right bank of Ukraine. So Ukraine is crossed with the Dnieper, Dnieper River, and it is the right bank, but the north part, to the north from Kyiv. And this suburban area has been captured by Russians for almost a week already, and they have their military convoys there, they have their artillery launchers there. And so our troops, our military, are keeping the positions in forests around this part of Kyiv, the northern part of Kyiv. They are staying there and targeting the Russians less than 5 kilometers from there. But this end of Kyiv, edge of Kyiv, so to say, is from the city center, kind of 15 kilometers from here. So all in all, doing all the calculations, the Russians are 20 kilometers from the city center of Kyiv. But their missiles are targeting civil objects, residential buildings, like today, for example, at 6 o'clock in the morning. They targeted the house just in Shevchenkivsky district, and it is 2 kilometers from here. So they are getting closer with their missiles and rockets, but physically, their positions are 20 kilometers from citizens.
So what's your estimation? Do you think they'll actually get closer towards the city? And how will the citizens defend themselves, those who live in Kyiv?
So Russians really are struggling to get closer, and they have no success of getting closer. And this night also was important to disperse these positions and disperse their efforts to come closer. So no movements into the city. And that's understandably, this is what gets Russians angry, because they are not as successful and they couldn't capture Kyiv in 3 days as they are planned. And they won't capture Kyiv, as we see, no progress. So really, we see this for the recent 3 days, we have been seeing more and more attacks. So some people left, but there are still people. And we see these pictures of high-rise buildings being totally on fire. A lot of people have left, but still 30, 40 people living in these 9-story buildings have to be evacuated. And they are really the targets of Russians, civil people, innocent civil people. But still, the civil people understand that they could be targeted and could suffer from Russian attacks, and they are ready to fight. We had this massive campaign of making Molotov cocktails at home, so that if we see Russian tanks or artillery launchers or some other military equipment in the streets, these civilians could open the window, get this Molotov cocktail and throw it directly on the vehicle of Russians. And this is what was advised even to be done by our officials, the Interior Ministry, so the Military Ministry. So this is kind of a part of civil defense. And also we have a very strong system of block posts in Kyiv, a lot of territorial defense fighters standing in the streets with guns, making the barricades stronger over this recent week of war. So as far as I see, Kyiv is really in a good shape and in a good morale to fight if somebody tries to come closer. But everything shows that Russians won't have any success coming into the city. They are still on the suburban area, but not coming in Kyiv, and they won't be able to do this.
Now, I'm sure you would have watched, along with the world, the moment where a young woman interrupted a live news broadcast on Russian state TV to wave a sign that said, "Stop the war, don't believe propaganda, they're lying to you." Your thoughts?
My thoughts are kind of, again, a theatrical performance made by Russians. And this main important thing that everybody understands, that there are no lies on Russian state television, Первый channel. So it's understandably off and looks even kind of very not trustworthy. And this lady jumps into the frame. Then she jumps like in for several seconds. And I know that for the editors of the lives on TV, it takes kind of 1 second to switch the picture from the studio to the cover video. But they allow this lady to jump with this sign for kind of 5-4 seconds. And all of the people from my circle who are familiar with television production techniques and also propaganda techniques understand that this is kind of just an attempt for Russians to wash their reputation, so to say, or in some way to switch the attention from all these terrible crimes committed by them in Ukraine. So I don't even see it as a sign of, oh, wow, in Russia there could be people who really do not support the war Putin is conducting in Ukraine. No, not even close. So that's really the thing that everybody from the kind of community of people who really have, you know, kind of critical thinking and understanding how Russian propaganda works. Nobody believes this, and it's just kind of a stupid attempt of Russians to switch attention, kind of like this.
So you're telling the world, don't believe Russia, don't believe that women, it's just propaganda.
Yeah, sure. Don't believe anybody from Russia on all the levels. Yeah, the good thing is that there are these protests of people, and 14,000 people were arrested all over Russia, fighting, going into the streets with protest against war. But honestly, the main thing is that they are trying to protest this slogan, no war. And no war is a slogan about nothing. And here in Ukraine, we hate this slogan, no war, because it's kind of, there are some countries and there is some hypothetical virtual war. And this slogan doesn't apply to the reality. Russia conducts war in Ukraine. Stop Russia, stop Putin. These are the slogans which we, the Ukrainians, want to hear from Russians. Not the stop war and let's be friends. We can't be friends already after what Russians have done for these recent 21 days, not talking about all the crimes, all the sufferings that they have brought to Ukrainians. And a very important thing to understand is that if you're a democracy, the people who can influence something. Of course, we know what is happening in Russia. This is a fake democracy, not even close to democracy, just in constitution says it's democracy, but not really. But still, people are the power which can influence what is done by the state, and Russians do not want to influence. And for Ukrainians, that means that they are okay with what is happening. So here in Ukraine, we see that every Russian in Russia is now responsible for what is happening in Ukraine and what Putin is doing. So no, you know, kind of feelings towards this woman, towards anybody of Russians. And the only thing we can offer to Russians is this mercy after they say that they're wrong.
And when it comes to the Russian crimes that have been committed in Ukraine, a lot of that has made headlines as well. Talk us through some of the things that they've done.
Oh, a long list, actually. What to start from? So targeting civilian objects, targeting high-rise buildings, 9-story buildings. Today it is a 12-story building in Shevchenkivsky district in Ukraine. Targeting the metro station yesterday in Lukyanivka, which is also closer to city center than ever. Very obvious, it seems to me, crimes. Targeting civil infrastructure with people inside. Okay, very strange, but they still do this. The second one, which is very massive, targeting nuclear power plants, 2 of them. One Chernobyl power plant, the other is in Zaporizhia, Zaporizhia power plant, which is in Energodar city. Targeting nuclear power station with the risk of creating a new nuclear catastrophe, which could potentially influence not only Ukraine, but Russia itself. It's just stupid, just stupid. Then using such types of weapons, such as cassette bombs and also phosphor bombs. It was, of course, it has to be proven by some experts and officials, but we have seen already the reports from officials of Ukraine saying that really Russians do this. And there are pictures and videos of these forbidden weapons used in Luhansk Oblast. That's against all the war conventions, all war kind of agreements between civilized countries. What else? Mariupol itself, it's just a story of the biggest war crime in Russia. They are bombing, just trying to leave nothing out of this city. The people are staying there without food, without water, without connection. And this is a war crime. They are keeping civilians without any means of for living. And it's one city, Mariupol. Mariupol is used to be a flourishing, economically developing city. And even during these 8 years of war, since the war started in 2014 in Donbas, Mariupol was developing. And the attention of the West was drawn to Mariupol as a place of rebirth of Azov and Donbas region. Now it's all half, partially, or even more than half destroyed. Civilians are suffering. And this is only like four types of war crimes Russia is conducting, not mentioning others. The bombing, again, in Mariupol of maternity house. What is that on earth? Bombing the maternity house where new life is brought to this world. Why in the world would you like to bomb this infrastructure? And they try to cover it, saying that, oh, there were Azov Nazi inside. Are you stupid or are you stupid? You know, that's the main question which rises in the heads of all Ukrainians. And we seeing this news, seeing everything which is happening, nobody will be surprised by any other even more terrible event which Russia, I'm sure, is planning to do. And I don't even want to estimate what else could happen. It's just unbelievable. I'm standing here talking about this and just can't imagine that all of this is our reality, the reality of the past 21 days already. So that's just insane. And Russia should take the whole responsibility of all of this. And I hope that will be done by with the help of the international community, all the countries, all big countries, all G7 countries, the countries in Security Council of United Nations, all possible mechanisms should be used, because it's terrible what is happening right now in Ukraine. And nobody called Russia to do this.
I read today that President Zelensky has acknowledged that he may not be part of NATO. Ukraine may not become part of NATO. Is that true?
That is kind of an estimation of him. But now clearly everybody understands why, because while our ambition of Ukraine to become a member of NATO was mostly to defend ourselves, because we understand that Russia is our, unfortunately, geographically neighbor, and we have to deal with this. But now, in the most critical moment of our history, recent history, when there is a time for NATO to come in and say, hey, Russia, stop, and to do something. Of course, we understand that Ukraine is not a member of NATO, for NATO to defend us. But Russia already targets the places 20 kilometers from NATO border. They targeted Yavoriv military base just days ago. But this critical moment has come, and NATO just sitting there and saying, okay, we can provide you some weapons like NLAWs, Javelin, Stingers. Okay, thank you very much. That's very important. And really, these rocket launchers, are anti-tanks launchers, are really crucial right now. But that is that. And Russia continues to do everything. And NATO like sitting and waiting, watching. And I guess this is the source of Ukrainian frustration in what NATO previously used to mean to us. But still, it seems to me it's too early to make any assumptions right now. And it was just kind of a thought of the president. And we have to live through all of it, all of the war. And later, with the cold head, like watching what we have at the end of this terrible tragedy, then to make assessment whether it's important for us still to become a NATO member, or I guess possibly the local, regional, alliances of the Eastern Europe with Baltic countries, with Poland, which is supporting us right now very strongly. This would be also a good option, which was already talked about before the war, but maybe it could rise in its importance in the years to come.
Well, thank you so much, Maria. I really appreciate another update, and we'll be keeping in touch and talking again as you fight bravely against the Russians in this war.
Thank you very much. And I call all the people, all the Australians, to stand with Ukraine, to support Ukraine in every possible way you can, with money donation, with thoughts, with prayers, and with information, which should be, you know, the truthful one.
That was Bridget Leslie with another special report from Ukrainian journalist Maria Pisarenko, who's at home under curfew in central Kyiv. This is the Travel Writer Show on J Air 88 FM in Melbourne.